Okay, I will call this meeting to order.
Thank you all for being here and for your patience as we find the new room. This is just a one, hopefully a one-time deal while they finish fixing the floor in the ballroom. We'll be back to normal in the Wood Center next month. So if we could do the roll call, please, Nicole.
Faye.
Here.
Nate.
Here.
Chris Bex. Chad Olson.
Here.
Evelyn Pinsford.
Here.
Leon Wu. Okay. Melody Hughes.
Here.
Allie Engler. Leslie Walls. Jamie Warwick.
Here.
Sue Mitchell.
Here.
Jesse Atencio. Chris Brooks. Mercedes Anderson.
Here.
Matthew Mund.
Here.
Jane Grossclose.
Here.
Kim Eames. Susie Carson.
Kim Eames is here.
Thanks, Kim.
Uh-huh.
Susie?
Here.
Stacey Houdeshell? Samara Tabor?
Here.
Brandy Marrero?
Here.
Jessica Armstrong?
Here.
Dino Jala? Jessica McCallum?
Here.
Brad Crick is... Janelle Merrifield?
Here.
Phil Jacobs?
Proxy
Anthony, thanks. Selena Brown. Trish Winters.
Yeah.
Connie Heisinga. Jim Jones. Quorum is met.
Oh yeah. So for those of you on the line, if you could keep your phone muted while you're not speaking, just it's picking up a lot of background noise for the other people on the phone. We had some feedback on that before we got started here, so just a reminder. But please do not mute us because we'll have your hold music and we'll have to restart. So if you could just mute yourself while you're not speaking, if you're on the phone, that'd be great. Thank you. And if you do have to mute us for some reason, please just hang up and call in again. So we have a consent agenda at the top of our agenda today, both approving our current agenda for this meeting and also the first attachment, the resolution in recognition and appreciation, is Chancellor Brian Rogers and Sherry Modrow. Do we have a motion to approve? And then we can get that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any discussion? Comments? Edits? Okay. Hearing none. We don't do roll call for this.
Just a
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. So on our pending actions, the leave share resolution, which some of you may not even remember when this started because it's been over a year now. It's been a long road, but this was the resolution so that if employees are dealing with medical issues where they're trying to come into work and they might go come in, you know, once every week for a few hours to get things cleared up, but they're still going through their leave, they wouldn't be eligible under the past version of the regulations. You had to be gone for 2 weeks at a time, period, with no coming back in the office. Otherwise, it reset your ability to get paid share. And also it wasn't allowed to be used for bereavement leave. So if if you used up all your leave caring for a loved one during an illness and they passed on, you would not be eligible for leave share to deal with the next steps. So Jeff Baxter and the Staff Affairs Committee put this proposed edit to that policy to fix those two major problems. And it went through staff comments, and it went to the president. And finally, this month, we got a response from the president accepting all of the changes we asked for and even putting in some others that seem to be quite beneficial, directing the Chief Human Resources Officer to make those changes. And Staff Alliance just got a copy of the proposed changes that we'll be talking about with the Human Resources Officer tomorrow. That seems to be everything we asked for, which is huge. I mean, this is just an incredibly significant change that hopefully doesn't affect too many people, because we don't want too many people to be going through these times, but it does mean that for those people who are impacted by these circumstances, we as staff can help each other out, and it can make a big difference to them. So really, really proud of our work on this one as a council, so thank you. Item B, the task force to review the review process versus grievance process. That was about the layoff policy changes. That hasn't really kicked off yet. We have Staff Alliance tomorrow, so we'll ask them for more info about that then and see where that's going. The term-funded internal applicant policy. This one was what we'd asked for last year, which was that term-funded staff who were not continued would be put on what's called the layoff list, where if you hire someone off this list, if you're filling a vacancy, you know, you get some benefits, basically. It's to promote looking at these people first before posting the job and for external hires. And the idea is that you have a shorter vacancy hold. So instead of having to hold it for 90 days, if you hire someone off this list of people who have been laid off or have not had their term contract renewed, then it's only a 45-day hold. So that was signed by the chancellor and posted. So we knew we were supportive of it. It was just kind of closing the loop on that one, and that's done, so we'll take it off. But that is nice to recognize our term-funded staff who've been here. You know, if their contract is not renewed because of funding, they still have a lot of institutional knowledge that we want to do our best to keep them. On D, the resolution requesting staff council involvement for the selection of the new UAF chancellor. We had gotten a response from President Gamble on that. That was not really what we were hoping for. It was just sort of a, well, sure, there'll be staff people, but maybe not staff council people. I don't know. Which kind of made sense, because he was like, well, I'm out of here, basically. Like, I won't be the one kicking this committee off. They did really involve us with the intern, which was great. I'll talk on that in the president's report. But when we met with Jim Johnson, the incoming presidential candidate, we did ask about that, and he verbally said, yes, absolutely, of course, staff council would have a representative on the search committee. Absolutely. So we'll follow up on that as we kind of kick into the academic year. I don't think anything will start until after the semester has gotten going to make sure everyone's back on contract. And then item E, the volunteer day proposal, which we passed. The chancellor is sending that to cabinet this afternoon for their input. Nate and I will attend to kind of present and give a little bit of the context for it. But I think the chancellor wanted cabinet to think it over and give feedback before he signed off on anything there. So it's moving though. Which is nice. Okay. Anything you want to add? Any questions on the pending action? All right. I know we have one person in the room for public comment. So, yeah.
Hello, my name is Michelle Mouton, and I'm the Director of Sustainability, and I basically work for the UAF in In 2009, the students voted a $20 per semester sustainability fee. And the goal of that program is to make UAF a leader in sustainability across the nation, which actually has happened since we did that. We now have a gold star rating for sustainability. We've been recognized as one of the top 350 schools in the nation for sustainability by Princeton University. And we just got a recognition as one of the top 50 campuses for sustainability, one of that campus across America. So the students at UAF are really making a difference. Then 2009 and the collective sustainability team, we have had 86 projects, some of those you may be familiar with. We've had 6 solar panel projects on campus. The most visible one is SRC. We have the famous Green Bike Program where staff, faculty, and students can actually rent a bike this semester. The students fund the MAC bus program that allows faculty, staff, and students to ride the bus for free. And we now have the electric shuttle, which we donated to facilities, so now we have electric instead of vehicle transportation, and that's allowed us to continue the shuttle this year. And the students are looking to partner with the staff, and Dave will be talking about that later, because they're ramping up what they're doing. They just voted to fund solar panels on the new power plant, which is very exciting. They last year voted solar panels on the engineering building, but it will actually be turned on in August. So the south wall, main south wall, has solar panels by 2018 on the new power plant. So thank you for your time, and I apologize to those of you that are online. If you want to email me, I will send you the electronic version of what I sent out.
Thank you, Michelle. Does anyone have any questions for Michelle? We've got a couple minutes left in our public comment time. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. But thank you for asking. You might have just volunteered yourself for a new committee. Yeah, we'll talk about that under new business. You all guys will see the sustainability fee on there, but we have some exciting ideas about ways you might be able to partner on some of these initiatives that the students have been working on and funding. Anybody else for public comments? Yeah.
I just wanted to give an update about a community right now on the Happy Working Office. So what some of you may have experienced as you've been reviewing your Happy Working website is really not working for people. We are aware of it, and we are working with all the kind of figure out what's going on. It does work, but sometimes it can't be through there. If that's the case, please either come to see us or the forms online. You might just fill out our email to us if that's possible and indicate how you want to pick your comment up or how it mailed us usually to review them online. The other cool thing that we started this year, it's kind of like the pilot program this year, is we have sustainable tasks for employees and faculty. The sustainable tasks, you renew it this year. And you don't ever have to worry about it again. In previous or in future years, it's a payroll deduction only type of renewal, and basically it's automatically renewed from September until you tell us the cost. And you can see what the normal payroll deduction cost. So that way, for those of you guys may know, we want to tell you it's crazy insane. So if you just want to do your e-cal that one time, you'll have to kind of pick it up or have a meal. Car is a multi-year, so you have a support vehicle bonus, but if it stays in your car, it's going to be a one. So that's amazing. But I just want to give you guys an update on what's going on with parking, if you're finding a new one.
And
comments in the room or on the phone or on the Google Hangout? Okay. So moving on to officers' reports. I'll start off with a little bit of a update about our governance budget. Like most units on campus, governance also got hit with a pretty big reduction to our budget this year. One of the things we're hoping to be able to reduce is the teleconference line. It's one of our biggest expenses, actually, and it's also sort of surprisingly the biggest number of call-ins for the teleconference line are from people who work on campus, on the main campus. And so for those of you who work on the main campus, if we can try and move away from using the teleconference line, attending in person is always best because we love to see each other's faces and have that connection. But Nicole has also started setting up Google Hangouts, and the internet on campus should definitely be more than enough to do that. So if you have any questions about using the Google Hangout or want to test the setup in case you might need to use it in the future, you can just contact Nicole and she'll either set one up for you so you can ping each other and test it out and see how it works, and make sure that you're all set to go, or just kind of give you any information. And for our rural reps, if Google Hangout works for you, that's great if you can move to it too, but we definitely want to make sure that we're prioritizing that that teleconference line for rural reps. And so we're not planning on getting rid of it because we know you guys sometimes have connectivity problems. We don't want to, you know, end up with you cut out. But if you can use the Google Hangout, please do. And then one of the other sections, less budget impact, but you will probably notice there we will not be having coffee at our meetings anymore. So there is the excellent coffee spot in the Wood Center. So, but yeah, we won't be providing it out of the governance budget. Next on my list was I just wanted to thank everyone who was able to attend the meetings with the interim chancellor candidates and with the presidential candidate and provide feedback. I was so impressed by the quality of feedback that we got. It was really, really thoughtful and just showed a really good sense of the institution and a real commitment to moving us forward. So we did provide the feedback on the interim chancellor candidate. And as you, I think you should have all seen or heard, Mike Powers was selected. We had met with the students, or exchanged email with the students, I guess, and met with the faculty Senate leadership as well to discuss that. And I think Mike Powers was a candidate where all three groups also felt very comfortable with that selection. And with President Johnson, or incoming President Johnson, thank you too for attending and for kind of sharing some of our concerns with him and meeting face to face. And hopefully, as he ramps up in the next month or so, we'll maybe get some other opportunities to discuss some of our concerns with him. I think he'll be calling into South Alliance tomorrow while he's on travel. So with those transitions, I want to encourage everyone to RSVP to the Chancellor's retirement celebration. There was a message in the cornerstone if you read that. If not, if you go to uaf.edu/chancellors/retirement, you can RSVP there. It's Thursday, August 27th, starting at 5, going to about 7:30 in the Wood Center. And I think RSVPing would be very helpful so they can get a sense for food and drinks and so forth. But it'd be great to see a good turnout for that. We're going to miss them very much. And then my last piece, as I mentioned, Staff Alliance meets tomorrow. It's the annual retreat, the full-day meeting for Staff Alliance that Nate and I will be attending. We'll have some transition there as well. The Staff Alliance president is not not intending to continue her term for the next year. But I think everyone on that team is really great. So I think we'll have some good leadership no matter what going forward with that group. And we'll be talking with the Chief Human Resources Officer. We'll be getting some more budget info for the whole system level, and then speaking with the Vice President for Academic Affairs and Research, who oversees governance. That's Dan White, who used to be our Dan White from Institute of Murder and Engineering. So it's a full day, but hopefully there'll be some kind of good points of information to report on out of that.
Yeah, thanks, Faye. I don't have a lot. I guess I would say, summer's a little bit different, I think, for staff council, but based on the items that were listed under our pending actions, I think that's evidence that we're still able to accomplish quite a bit during the summer, even though some folks are off contract, some people are traveling. It's just disrupted, I think, our schedule a little bit, but I'm happy to be back at a regular meeting. I think that we should all feel good about what staff council has been able to wrap up and start up and kind of see through just in the last couple months. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is I would just echo what Faye had to say about our participation and our feedback in the two major searches over the summer. Again, this is not an easy time for us to convene and communicate, but I think that definitely happened in the case of the interim chancellor search and the presidential search. And as officers, I think that we both got the sense that our participation and our feedback was taken very seriously by those making decisions, and so I think we should feel good about that too. The other thing is I think that it really gets us started off on the right foot with our new leaders. I think that we've shown to them that we have a very active and engaged staff, and I think that can be really helpful going forward. At a place with active shared governance, so I think that's a good thing. I think that's about all I have to say. As somebody that comes to this role from the advocacy committee, I'm always kind of focused on how we can best represent ourselves to the larger university and to the community, and I think that we've done a good job of that over the summer in our sort of limited capability for the last couple of months. I think it's a good start to the year.
So does anyone have anything to mention during staff achievements and highlights? Yeah.
Tom Heinrichs is the director of the Geographic Information Network for Alaska. That climate finale in June to measure the elevation with a high-quality survey-grade instrument. And probably in the next couple of weeks, there'll be an announcement of the new elevation finale.
Wow.
More accurate than it's ever been discovered before. So.
That is so cool. Any others?
I want to thank those in the Wisconsin Graduate Power had a very excellent write-up in the last dispatch about the hydrokinetic project that they're doing in as well as other energy projects. Very good description of how they're using great alternative energy resources.
Any others? How about on the phone? Anybody want to share? Okay, I'll just reiterate again the work of our staff affairs committee and the real champion effort from Jess Baxter on that staff alliance lead share motion and moving that forward. I think staff major positive impact in changing regulation. What is that? Anyway, that I think was a big achievement as well from a staff perspective. All right. So we've got luckily a little bit of wiggle room in our agenda right now. So Nicole will just go investigate this mysterious drilling noise. For those of you on the phone, I'm not sure if you can hear it, but it sounds like we're in a construction zone.
Be careful.
So, yeah. Actually, that reminds me. I had intended to do a safety minute since we're in this room. Obviously, if there is an event and we need to evacuate, go out and take the stairs up, not the elevator, so up one floor, out, and we would meet by the Turtle Park in front of the library. Did not walk through. Oh, actually, there emergency exit, so take that exit. Take that exit and head out. All right, we will just try to power through. Pause just a bit. So next on our agenda is the Chancellor. I'm very sorry that we have construction for you.
Well, thanks, Anne. It's good to be here. A little sad that this is my last opportunity to speak with the council. So I wanted to start out on staff engagement. I have one question I want to mention. One that I think is really important to both the university and to the state, and that is that Governor Walker has expressed his appreciation and staff deep appreciation for the work that some of our staff did in facilitating the meeting of the government conversations in June, and then follow-up that we had in Fairbanks in July, talking about the state fiscal situation, the model of the Department of Revenue developed that helps us long look at the prices of revenue versus taxes. And the feedback I got for the Fairbanks event was the breakout sessions that were facilitated by UAS kick crew facilitators. The best of all of them. So really high praise, but more importantly, being able to advance that discussion is critical both for the state of Alaska and for us as a university. And while I know we're all feeling the issues of the budget, I'm actually sensing and have full results to prove that there is a shift in public attitude. Rasmussen Foundation has allocated a significant amount of money educate the public on the state fiscal issues. And the first piece they did was survey Alaskans about budget cuts versus alternatives for revenue. And the most important takeaway is the majority of Alaskans do not favor addressing the budget shortfall solely through budget cuts. And actually those do, only 8% of the public think that's the appropriate answer. That tells me that it's quite likely that FY's next fiscal year, FY17, starts next year, they may very well be the bottom of where we start coming out of this solution. Now, it's going to affect us all individually because the top choices are some use of permanent fund income, a statewide sales tax, or other revenues. But in terms of being able to run a quality university, we can't keep cutting 8-10% year after year and that quality. So I think it's good news that there is public recognition of the value of public services, including us. And particularly important since in the state budget, the university budget is the fourth highest piece. The health and social services budget, the Department of Education budget, and then a group of really fixed costs of debt service and the like, all quite largely. But among all state agencies other than health and social services and education, we're the largest, and that creates some challenge. UAS will be presenting our budget to President Johnson's staff on Friday. We're still putting final touches on it. While we the governor to take a reduction and the legislature to take further reduction, we're actually laying out what we think is, that the budget should be. And that includes the continued funding, so the one-time funding we received this year for paying benefits, another year of contractual requirements for paying benefits. We're recommending an equivalent amount to non-bargaining unit staff. About a zero probability of getting that funded. But I think UAF management and the board don't want to see non-union employees treated differently from union employees in terms of whether they're on raises. We're going to have a significant increase in the cost of benefits that we have. Basically, I think the healthcare committee has been aware of this. We over collected 2 years ago, and so the staff benefit rates have been low for FY 15 and 16. They're going to jump back up in FY 17. That will be a significant cost to us. We've also identified a series of other fixed costs that we must address. You probably have seen this spring about large quality issues on campus. The current issue is one where we're getting more organic material coming up in the water in the well. We put more treatment into it, and the byproduct of the treatment created a higher condition for one substance than is allowable. So we put additional carbon filtration in. But the long-term plan is to actually shut down the university water treatment plant for domestic water and go to the college facility. So that will entail a cost. It should improve water quality overall, but there is a cost. So there's some other compliance issues in terms of dealing with Title IX and disability service. Those will be included in our budget. And then a limited number, just a handful of programmatic increases. Again, low probability of getting these funded, but actually last year we did get one funded in the unmanned aircraft arena of the legislature. Did. So we want to identify for them the areas where we think there are opportunities that we should be taking advantage of. Chemical engineering with gas pipeline coming, with LNG coming, we really could do more of. Chemical engineer. Capital budget will be very thin. Engineering, building, grid maintenance, and we'll put in a couple of research projects we have several years hoping to be a one shot research project focusing this year on some earthquake monitoring and a couple of other related research projects. I have an apology for you. The volunteer day resolution somehow fell through the cracks over the summer, so it's now scheduled for review by cabinet today. It was actually at our check-in meeting that we discovered that we dropped the ball on that. We'll up and touch it and get back to you before next month's meeting. I'm really pleased that my powers will be following me. At the interim council for the next 10 months, fall to do a full search process. President Thompson has indicated that there will be staff participation in the search process. He hasn't really told me a lot about what that will be, but I expect that to kick off pretty soon after the start of the semester. Get an early jump on potential candidates. After 7 years as chancellor, I had the opportunity to look back a little bit. Staff Council, the first request Staff Council made of me when I came to Council was to lead better supervisory training. So the supervisory training program that we spoke to today is now the second or almost the third iteration of what that training is. Really, the Staff Council should take pride in that going forward. Your idea, I think, far better. They have far better supervision, they have fewer grievances and problems. Thanks to supervisors getting that training. You also push hard for a staff appreciation and staff development day. And I think the opportunities for both personal and professional development are credit to staff council. I've appreciated the advice of the sounding board of the full group and also of the regular monthly meetings with the leadership to talk through. So what's coming up? What are the issues? Where are there? Are there potential problems? My powers that I've been on the Board of Regents for the last 4 years, working with governance. Actually, this committee effectively brought a faculty member onto the committee at the position. I think that's been a positive. Continue what I think has been a positive relationship. It's been a privilege to be the chancellor. To work with a great group of people on this first week. Thanks to each of what we do. Thanks for the great question.
Chancellor Rogers and Sherry, we passed a resolution this morning, and I'd like to read it, if you don't mind. Whereas Brian B. Rogers served as Chancellor of the University of Alaska Fairbanks from 2009 to 2015 and a member of the UAF and Fairbanks community since the early 1970s. And whereas UAF alumni Brian B. Rogers and Sherry Madro, his spouse and unwavering companion, have approached the chancellorship as a team, working tirelessly to promote, support, and develop UAF within the Fairbanks community and abroad. And whereas Brian B. Rogers is a true leader and Renaissance man, having held the titles of Chancellor, Vice President, Regent, Student, Alumni, State Representative, Commercial Fisherman, Course Instructor, Director, Dishwasher, Consultant, Mailman, Manager, Business Owner, Lemonade Proprietor, Ally, and Friend. And whereas Brian D. Rogers has earned the trust of staff through his commitment to respect, transparency, open communication, shared governance, and collaboration. And whereas Brian D. Rogers has championed supervisor training, staff development, and staff appreciation throughout his time as UAF Chancellor. And whereas Brian D. Rogers and Sherry Madro have implemented and spearheaded the Chancellor's Gala in support of the greater Fairbanks community. And whereas Sherry Madro, a lifelong Alaskan, has volunteered countless hours to improve UAF, including her impressive work with the UAF Development Office. And whereas throughout his tenure as Chancellor, Brian D. Rogers and Sherry Madro have been strong supporters of UAF Staff Council and all staff, while championing UAF as a unique and world-class Arctic institution. Now, therefore, be it resolved that UAF Staff Council recognizes and applauds the outstanding contributions and accomplishments of Brian D. Rogers and Sherry Madro during their tenures at UAF, during which time they have helped make UAF a better place. Thank you.
We have
thank you very much.
Can you do this?
Yeah, please slow it up. So we're running a little ahead of schedule, which is great.
If you think that might be better.
So we're going to do our photo now. We've got about 15 minutes or so. All right, thank you guys. Let's go ahead. We're slightly ahead of schedule, but since we've got Carla and Alita here, we can go ahead and get started. So if you guys want to come on up, we have Anita Hartman, Director of UAF HR, and Carla Browning, the Communications Manager, and they're going to talk to us about employee engagement and the
absolutely, yeah. I think the voice will carry better that way. Is in here okay? Okay, good. Well, we have folks online too.
every, you know, everybody incorporating that into their messaging. We've been working with a company called Decision Wise. They're out of Provo, Utah, and they don't have such a dim view, I guess, of the American workforce and unengagement. We really look at things on a continuum of the fully engaged key contributor, your opportunity group, and your fully disengaged. And what we find is there's about 4% of the fully disengaged, they're the working quit, right? They haven't moved on to another position, but they continue to come to work every day. We spend a lot of time as an organization, and you may spend a lot of time in conflict with this particular 4%. Then there's the opportunity group, which is the next group up. And that group is about 25%. And that group really is where we have opportunities to really grow leaders. So you're early to mid-career, people that are not in the disengaged. So what happens if they continually take on more responsibilities, maybe their supervisors and engaging them? They're not looking out for their crew growth. They're not really maybe checking in with them on a regular basis. They tend to fall into that fully disengaged group pretty quickly. Especially in an environment where you're just, like I said, taking on more. You can do a short stint of taking on more responsibility for a short period of time, especially if you're getting things like meeting and you've got some autonomy and maybe some career growth there. But if you do that for a long, sustained period of time, you tend to become better. So this company that we're working with really capitalizes on, and they call it magic, but meeting, autonomy, growth, impact, and connection. And those are the areas that people really start to see that engagement. Much different from, and Anita probably knows more about these, but satisfaction surveys. I think you guys sent out a survey about a year ago, maybe 6 months ago, saying, what would make you have a better place to work? And people tended to focus on satisfaction. They didn't say, well, I'd really like it if my supervisor would spend a little bit more time talking about how I contribute to the mission of the organization. But those are the kinds of things that we tend to focus on as satisfaction. Our survey will have a mix of satisfaction questions and engagement. And what we're doing is trying to develop a baseline. So basically, I've got some FAQs about the survey, but I'll let Anita just give it a quick overview.
So another key point to understand is about an HR happiness survey. This is something totally different. It speaks to a lot of aspects of the work, not just where you are in your environment. We are going, the survey is about ready content-wise to launch. We're doing a large sample of our available workforce of 2,800 people. Purposes, we want to get a broad swath, invite participation from a broad swath, so it's not going to be a broadcast email that says, oh, here, we're doing this, would you like to participate? A personal invitation to a very large representative group, which will include temporary employees as well as adjuncts because they are key contributors to this institution. The survey is entirely confidential. It's totally anonymous to UAF. We don't know. We provide the list and the email, the contact, because that's how the survey will come through email to DecisionWise. But after that, it's totally anonymous to the institution. We don't know how to respond, what they said, whatever. But we provide the broad swath. The results are also confidential with one categorization factor that we could disaggregate the data, the results that we get, down to a group as small as 10, no smaller than that because that removes the confidentiality again of that. So by doing that, you can have action plans that are specific, for example, to this school or this college where they might have totally different issues. You can have action plans that might be totally different for faculty or for staff because they come up with totally different issues. You just can't go smaller than that. There will be, somewhere in November after the survey finishes, a sort of executive leadership workshop where the consultants will be here on site for a data debrief and analysis. And the expectation is that they will be teaching
the people who attend the executive leadership workshop are that turns out to be deans, directors, managers, supervisors, on up to cabinet, to develop specific action plans so that they have the winter break to think about it. These are the results for my area. How they differ from somebody else's area, what I can do. This allows them to make the best use of the resources that they have. So they're not trying to solve a problem they don't have. They can come back in January and actually begin to execute the action plan for their unit that was developed based on the data, based on the analysis from the consultant. So there's some professional development for leadership. We know that we have a number of acting leaders, interim leaders, step up to the plate leaders. So we're going to put some professional development into that category of employees. So.
I think that going back to the acronyms of MAGIC, so naming, autonomy, growth, impact, and connection, the way that that's sort of disaggregated or an example that I use is let's say that we want, you know, in our metrics, we want to increase diversity or women in the STEM field. We can actually disaggregate that data across the board, and let's say that we find that that group is low on connection. So they could, leadership could create action plans that would help connect those particular faculty members with their groups so they feel more connected to the data. In some of the fields, you know, with less women in the field, for instance, it might be more isolating, so they may not feel like they're making that connection. With less professional development, growth opportunities feel travel. They may not be making those kind of connections within the field. So those are all things that supervisors can have actual conversations with their employees about and really improve and enhance the employee experience here at UAF. I think that the bottom line is that you have to really fully have the leadership understand and supervisors understand how to engage their employees. What we find is that they tend to expand their span of control, or we call it in the incident management crisis world, they tend to oversee a lot of people, so they may not have as much time to spend with each individual person and say, okay, you feel like you're getting me out of your work, that kind of thing. So this really helps to sort of change how we look at the supervision role and the conversations that we might have on the ground. You might have on the ground with your supervisor. The DecisionWise company has a self-assessment. I'm happy to send it out to you if you'd like. It really was eye-opening. You can fill it out and then you can say, where do I fall in the spectrum of things? And I came out with a key contributor, but kind of low on the scale of uniqueness. I thought I would be higher than that. And I think it helped to do with, you know, where I felt low. So one of the areas that I talked to my boss about was impact. I felt like I had a lot of ideas, I had a lot of autonomy, but I'm one person trying to do a lot in my office. And so we really talked about that, and my boss was able to clear paths and set some goals so that I was able to make impact and to move things forward. And that clearing a path was huge for me. And so I think it's something that you can really start to have conversations with your supervisors about. And you have to be speaking the same language. And right now, we're not all on the same page. So I think this role, the executive coaching, the leadership, even talking about things like walking the talk and talking about what kinds of things really do improve your experience here in the area as a university. I think will be really helpful. One of the things that most engagement plans and improved cultures talk about is a common set of values. And I know that this group has been talking about that over the last few months. So that might be something that comes back to the discussion that we move forward with our actions. I have some FAQs, but they're real standard. We've covered most of those as part of confidentiality. I did notice an error. It says that we'll disaggregate the data down to 5, and we talked to DecisionWise about doing that at 10. So I will correct that, but and I will go ahead and give these to you, but just hang on to it until I get you a corrected copy before you distribute it. Does anybody else have any questions?
In the slide deck, yes, I think Sarah was saying the FAQ.
Yeah. I was going through it last night, and I'm like, we need to check on that. And then I didn't join the presentation. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking here, this actually did, you in the
back of the FAQ, so I'll correct that one. Because if you have other questions that you'd like to, maybe we haven't covered.
You talked about actual deliverables at the end.
So the way that this works is that the consultants come in and they help us sort of, you know, point us in the right direction. So let's say the 60,000 foot left. So for the organization, when they present to me and the director of having visions, and I've seen some of their webinars, so I kind of know what they do, but they would say, yeah, you really need to focus on these areas. And here's some of the things that you can do that would improve whatever issue that you're facing as an organization. And that's kind of CBD, you know, I've tried to say, okay, what are some of the examples? They don't want to give those out. I think that we'll get there, though. The other thing is that we'll have specific action plans and coaching for the, as we disaggregate the data, and the HR consultants will all have training on how to do this, so they can work with
this. So part of the deliverable, you know, what sample size did we have? Did we get a good representation of the population we were trying to deliver some service to? How many and what kind of leadership attended the leadership workshop to get the data analysis and the help with developing action plans? How many action plans actually got implemented? And, you know, what was the range of those kinds of implementations? The Glassdoor ratings are ongoing, so we get ratings every 6 months with different ratings in December with different ratings again.
So the ultimate goal here is to increase the Glassdoor.
Well, that would be a nice time. That's the goal here is to make UAF a better place to work and have your importance. That is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
Well, the metric being the box.
Well, that's one of the metrics. Yeah.
We would ideally do this report, but due to cost, we can't do it in the policy. I think that there are other ways to do this. So let's have the team of them. Maybe that's the metrics that we look at. Maybe we look at safety compliance.
There's a number of other methods that we monitor as well. This also has the potential for managers to have some resume items, publications, or here's what was going on in my unit, that's my area of responsibility, action plan. Here's what I did. However they decide to measure, here's what I did in the outcome. If possible, they can have conference presentations and publications based on what they did for their own group of employees. So those are all good things.
Thank you.
I have a question. So employee safety survey, will we get the results like where we fell in, what category out of those? If you were saying you went online and you get it and you go like, but
what would you
call it? Yeah, the quick assessment that Colin was talking about.
Yeah,
and that one goes only to you. That one would not go to Decision Wise or the university, but you can
send you a quick assessment one so you can get a snapshot of yourself and get kind of familiar with the flavor of the question.
Right.
Yeah, I would like to know where I'm falling.
Sure. Right. So, I guess I was surprised at where I fell. Then when I got feedback, I had an outside university do this for me and give me feedback, and that was the biggest shocker. They felt like they were fully engaged, but they felt kind of low on the continuum. And I think that you know, what that tells me is that we're all fully engaged at times, but we can't be, full throttle all the time. And so I think that just based on, where am I calling that day, you may fall a little bit short. But you know what? Being a key contributor is not a bad thing. That's kind of where we want to keep people moving in that direction, right? So I think that wherever you fall in that continuum, look at what it does, and it'll break it out into the magic key indicators, right? And so you can figure out, is it me that I'm missing? You know, what are the things that are there that I'm not making connections with my coworkers? And then we'll give you some examples so you can tell them.
Carla, could you send that, I think you mentioned you would, but so for sending stuff out after electronically, if you can send the electronic versions of your handouts and also the link to the self-assessment,
yeah.
Recipe, I think that helps people get a better sense. So.
It does. The one confusion, though, just so you know, is that that's not the survey.
Right.
I know early on we sent that out, and it's like, oh, I thought the survey was going to be more, And it will be. It's actually a lot of questions for a survey. I mean, we try to keep ours like 15, 20 if we do a survey. This is 64.
With like two open-ended.
Yeah.
So you get to write. Tell us whatever you want.
So what we need from you is we need encouragement to your units and let them know that want to encourage people to fill it out. It probably takes about 15 minutes to do, and depending on how long you spend on the open list.
Right. And that's sort of the first step in solving any problem is first to try to understand what is the problem, the nature of the problem, locally as well as in specific pockets. So, you know, that's where we have the broad strokes for the whole university and the individual department, even though we're down to trying to get
them. Okay. And so one other hand in the room, and then I want to check on in online and see if we've got any questions there, and then we're getting up to our next speaker. So Trish first.
So you said there was going to be some aggregation. Was there also going to be aggregation? So, I mean, if you drop it down to the state department, will you also go back up and say, okay, all all representative staff and all adjuncts?
They could do it that way, too. There's different ways to group the data. For example, we could do that way.
No, you will be doing that. You might be valuable to get.
It's a really good suggestion. It is an excellent suggestion, and working with the consultant decision-wise and the HR consultant who will get specific training on using their proprietary software will be able to assist unit supervisors, deans, directors, whatever. Just, I want to look at this, and you will help them. So for about a year, the data will be available to manipulate in interesting ways depending on what the question.
Because the data is coming out of Banner, all the backend demographics will be chosen in advance. So you won't have to go on there and say, I'm representative staff. That will be in the backend of your unique identifier. So they'll be able to pull that data if we request.
So I'm just wondering if there's going to be a person who will be saying, granted this isn't a staff council thing, but, all of our union staff people, that's a different really, that they have a different supervisor. So I'm not sure who the one person would be
to get
all of that.
Probably the vice chancellor for administrative services would be a real good place too. But she covers, a large group of staff levels represented and not represented, and that might be a question she has.
Thank you.
I think it'll be two things. One is they'll disaggregate and once it goes first to see if there are differences. But then together, the things that are also common across the set. I know when we did our positioning survey for the brand research, we found that UAF was welcoming, was one of our top attributes across all audiences. So prospective students, alumni, and so that told us something that it was across and a common trend across all audiences, as opposed to something that we find in pocket. So all of that will be done from some of the things, but it's a good thing to look at. And when we look at how our audience are really breaking down the population of UAF, we want to break it down so that we'll have the opportunity to pull that out.
Thank you. Anybody on the phone with questions or on the Hangout?
I don't have a question, but I just don't know. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Faye, I can really hear you really well on your microphone today, but everyone else in the room, their voices are really garbled. The quality comes in and out really fast, and I've been having a hard time both with the chancellor and everyone else in the room. I can't hear you guys.
Okay, I'll see what we can do about it. We actually, because we're in this other room and not in the Wood Center, we don't have mics in front of the There are no microphones. So Nicole's trying to point, it's happening over this webcam, and she's trying to point that in the right direction to pick things up.
I see.
But
we're minus the phone line as well, so.
Yeah, we'll do the best we can with it for today, but this is being recorded, right, Nicole? As well in those minutes. So I'm very sorry though about that quality. It should be better next time.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, any other questions?
You're always welcome to send those to Anita or myself after the fact. Please give me some feedback on the FAQs and just like I say, keep it close to the vest until I get to a practice.
I think the goal of how much percentage of employees you want. I don't know.
The more the merrier, the more people who respond, better quality data will get, and the more powerful the results will be, of course. Yeah, so we have, we're pulling a sample of 2,800, which will pretty much capture all of their student employees. Because currently on last payroll, UAF had just over 3,800 people on payroll, a large number of which are graduate students, TAs, RAs, student employees, some student employees, and seasonal temps. So 2,800, the list of 2,800 should cover almost everyone.
Thank you. Oh, okay.
Thank you. And then I have a few suggestions on the sponsor through service performance. If you send people an email, you said it's not saying that we'll be surveyed. They can't put it yet. But it makes it less likely that when the survey comes up, you will click surprise.
Interesting.
If you have a 15-minute long survey, your sponsor will be 1 minute. If it's a 10-minute long survey, will be 1 minute. You'll have to leave 5 minutes. Everyone will be, especially if you have like 5 questions, and say it's 1 page, 5 questions, but it's 1 narrative section. So probably get most everybody to go with it. So if you consider one survey, it's going to be a really brand new one. Also.
Okay, well, appreciate the feedback. The consultants actually have had really good success rates in their response rates, so a lot higher than I would anticipate from our group. I mean, seriously. But we've also had some really great responses related to the scale survey on our positioning. So, you know, you just never know. It really, it's something that people really care about it and they want to give you feedback, which is why we're here talking about it beforehand. We will be sending out some communications in advance to let just generally let the young boys know what this is all about.
And like Carolyn said, we're going out talking to a number of groups. We talked to Stanford Canada, we're talking to Advanced Council, next week we talked to Provost Council, and then we're scheduled for Faculty Senate, I think, sometime in early September. So by the time the survey comes, it should not be a total surprise, we hope. But, you know, in terms of social science, anytime you get more than 6% response rate, you're going to have.
All right, thank you very much. So I'm going to move us right along because now we're a little bit behind. Sorry. Thank you guys again. We have Colby Friel, the Vice President of ASUAF. Thanks, Colby.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. I have an experience on these days before my first time in Texas. It was an awesome experience to see how this happened. I have to say, I'm very impressed. Sitting in the meeting and hearing the news about your work and the progress that you made in the university, I have to say congratulations. That's some awesome work, and it shows what coming together as a voice is going to do. And it's something I think students can learn from, so again, congratulations on the work. That's great to hear. Our president, Dr. Garrett, is the director of the meeting, but I'm here I'll try to speak loudly and not take up too much of your time, especially if the people on the call will probably speak for me very well. So I would just like to share with you a little bit about our organization. A lot of universities know how we operate. We operate in a very, you know, way that the university operates. And I'd also like to share with you a little bit about what our year is going to look like, what we plan to do. Our organization is the students and the government that they form, the students pay for each dollar fee that they intend to do, and then the student government is responsible for allocating that. We're also responsible for advocating for students to the university and the other outside organizations that they pay for the center. And we're really their voice, but that's what we try to be. We have about 7 to 10 staff throughout the year. That includes the executive office and we allocate half of our budget to other organizations in the university. If we heard from Michelle from Office of Sustainability, we allocate about dollars to organizations like that. The other half, our student senate is responsible for allocating. We give money to student organizations, fund projects of our own, things like that. We're actually very happy to announce this year we'll be able to give almost $100,000 in student grant travel up with grants and club grants for projects, and we're definitely very proud about. So we want to give back to the students. We're very happy to have $10,000 mark. So as far as this, that's kind of organization. So as far as this year, what we hope to accomplish this year, this year is a very difficult year for everybody. It's a year of change, and it's going to be a very difficult year. So that's something that we have noted. And we are very fortunate to have a very clear financial state. We're pretty glad to have that because we have the sustainable and regular income to be able to operate within that. So we are a little bit of a rock in the forming whether we perceive and we can provide students and support in the area. Some of the goals that we want to accomplish is using that $100,000 that I mentioned and allocating that to students in ways that benefit them, especially students who may be experiencing hardship due to Head Back in programs and support funding for things like travel and projects and things like that. We're restructuring some of our organization to help us do that, to use our money more efficiently to help students. We're planning on restructuring club council, which is about it, is the representation of clubs around campus. And they allocate a certain amount of money to that for clubs. We're restructuring that to more efficiently serve students. That's our goal. And we're also hoping to reach out to the community technical college, which has which receives the fewest benefits for what the student fees, for what the given student fees would have been. We're reducing the FBG, trying to reduce your services, trying to get a grant of the food pantry at the CDC at their campus to help better serve them. And lastly, this is kind of a big ambiguous thing that we're looking at. We don't know what quite direction we're going to head. But like I mentioned, we all know this is a very hard year. We're facing a lot of challenges and a lot of changes. And we want to work with the university. Our students are acutely aware of the situation that we're in, and we're hoping to work with the rest of the university to help solve these problems. We were fortunate enough to meet, as many of you were, to meet with candidates for UA President and for the interim chancellor, and we're happy with both of those selections. We met with, not me personally, but members of our organization met with Jim Johnson and Mike Powers to see how it is. You see what the university was, and we'd like to attend what they have to say and their vision. And so we're very pleased with the direction that we decided to go with those chairs. That's really all I have to share. I just wanted to be quick, but I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you guys have.
Right.
So the easy answer is come to our office.
Okay.
You can find all the information out there. The application process could change your year. It's just generally a paper application that you pick up with the office. You'll print out and fill it out and then it's reviewed. More specific information on that we give. It's a total allocation of $48,000 for travel and $48,000 for clubs, and that gets split by semester. So it will be $24,000 per semester for travel.
And then what is the Wood Center
Food Pantry? It's a food pantry available to target audiences, students who either don't have the money or don't need to pay themselves. So the ASUS gives a certain amount of money, and it's also an initiative with Woodsburg Meats that has food available in the 10 hours and
so how do they find that?
I'm not exactly sure how the application process went. I think they work with our administration. Matthew works with administration to allocate money in our budget. Going to our office, we have a lot of service staff. We have an attorney entertainer. We have we can provide information about the university academy for students going through situations within the administrative system of our university. So we have a lot of service. Coming to the office is always a great service. A great place.
Yeah, I know. That's good to know. Yeah, I know.
that actually makes me think what might be a really good thing we could do kind of in partnership, Colby, would be if you guys have kind of a, you know, quick one page, like, what are the resources UAS has for students? We have on staff council alone a lot of people who are departmental administrative staff who are often kind of that front line, I'm here to help you for students, and we then represent all of them as well. That's something we could kind of get out to people. So if they have a student at their desk saying, oh, man, how do I do this thing? You know, we know how to help them get to you and access your resources.
That would be great. And I can work with my office to get together a list of some resources, hopefully put that into the
Yeah, if you send it to Nicole, just to UAS staff council, we can get it out to all our representatives and they can get it out to all their units.
Okay.
So, I mean, I feel like every staff person at UAS should know I can send students to ASUAS to get these services if I'm hearing about the need. So, because it sounds like there's a lot of things to do that where we're like, oh man, I would love to help this student get this thing, but I don't know where how to do that, you know? So I think we could get that information out to help staff and help students to access UAS. Okay.
That would be great. Actually, one of our main focuses is to get information out to students and our staff. It would be really nice how we operate. That's something that's a challenge for the company to come. That would help us greatly.
Great. Any other questions for Colby?
Yeah. Are you guys going to be co-drawing this year again?
I don't.
Anybody on the phone, if you didn't hear it, don't be shy of asking a question that might have already been covered. Sorry again about the audio, but if you have any questions for Colby Friel from ASUAS. Okay.
We have for the past. It's not kind of what we've done annually. We're looking currently looking at supporting the food pantry more financially this year. We've been assessed by them. One of the things they need to see is we pull their feedback and also financial support. So that's something that we will look at. I know that we will definitely do that all the time.
All right. Thank you again, Colby, very much. And now we have Orion Waller, who is the president-elect for Faculty Senate.
Yeah, it's a great work on the sort of new leadership at the Senate. Basically, I just want you to be the answer to the great question. Very hard to remember the UAS that passed the resolution.
decision-making bodies in the business, what happens with the other questions, like, you obviously brought alignment to a huge step on the board region, the alignment between, you know, the UFDA and the S. So stuff like the general education requirements on the calendar, the minimum emission calendar, we even think that that's an investment. And what's the problem? And especially Scott Irwin, because all the FDA is sort of a big category from the work that we've worked with to be partnership policy, bylaws, the updating the blue book, the 25% the faculty handbook, policy handbook, the goal of the executive's office and stuff. It was great to hear that, for example, the lead, when the Jewish community, the policy, the great voice would say, hey, these things need to be fixed, and what's the case? So, I'd really like to make sure that that we all work together. This is definitely a project time for us to figure out how to do the kind of thing.
Go ahead. A total comment is they do was really open about sharing concerns about that, about what we're helping with. And you know, there were a couple times we reached out to something that matters to us, that matters to you, and to do. Also, and my impression is that we are always talking to do things that, you know, that are within our purview, but are also, you know, supportive of your goals.
Yeah, I'll say on the Faculty Alliance / Staff Alliance piece, particularly with that lead share, you might have heard me mention it was a very long road. That one of the biggest hang-ups in it was needing UAA to consider it at UAA before we could move forward. And when we eventually passed a resolution in support of it at Staff Alliance, we had quorum, but without UAA voting along. They weren't opposed to it. They just didn't ever quite understand the need for it. And so they were just kind of struggling with their internal body, I think, to get there. But eventually, I'm not sure what quorum is defined as for Faculty Senate, but or Faculty Alliance, but sometimes for us it made sense to just kind of pull the trigger and say, all right, we've had time to think about it now.
And sometimes the Faculty Alliance sort of has to say, look, before the decision made, we're just making a decision which we definitely feel not happy with. We sort of feel like the individual things that we should have are saying, but you can sort of be able to make decisions.
Right. I think we did note in our final resolution from Staff Alliance that UAA did not vote in support. So their, you know, their voice was covered, but ultimately, as a body representing all staff across the system, from that position, the five of us was working forward with. But it's a challenge for us too, and I think they might have gotten a little annoyed eventually at the UAF people every meeting saying, okay, are we passing this? What are we doing with this? What are your questions? What are the problems? Can we move forward? But we had to be a little aggressive, certainly.
This was on the this was also really interesting to hear from Bob Powers as an individual candidate saying this, the way you get the board agreement to do something,
pushing more
kind of comment about your idea of having people's power dry. I think I would have to agree with that strategy. People chime in, but I think what my power said, being there, having your, making your point over and over again, it's not a bad thing. Being part of the conversation, so that it's not, you know, always against your agenda of that meeting, you're hearing.
I was going to say that there were places where it kind of like that you said that you would like to help from that example. What would be helpful to us is if you could kind of give us a whole of the people what that help looks like to find exactly what you were wanting to do.
Well, and anytime, too, to echo that, if there's something where, for example, a resolution from staff council, you know, that matched up with something you guys were working on with help, if you just let us know in advance of our meeting, then we can bring it up and discuss it and see. I think it always makes a more powerful statement, and we'll be able to extend this, I think, all three governance groups. Anytime we all speak in chorus, it makes an incredibly strong impact, and it gets heard. So definitely, I think where we can pass or we could pass a resolution in support of a resolution that you did, and just said, "Yep, we seconded," basically, or vice versa. But I think the more we share what we're working on with each other, the more we can all support each other as well. Right.
If you want to talk offline, we have a group that has been reviewing
our bylaws
and
getting
up to date, and we think we have a really good strategy for that. If you want to talk to us offline, we can talk to you to share our strategy.
Thank you so much. I'm going to cut that off now, even though this is kind of my favorite part sometimes of our meetings is getting this coordination, but just to hammer through a few of our other things and I'm really trying to keep us on schedule and wrap up right at 11 this week. Cool. Thank you guys very much. So moving on to unfinished business, the advocacy has had their staff mentoring interest survey out and running.
Yeah, I'll say something about that. This is the first meeting that we've had where Jamie is the chair of advocacy, so I'd like to welcome Jamie. And I'd also like to say that we're in the process of, or I'm in the process of handing data from that survey off to her to take over and process. And so I think that will be an ongoing thing. I think that there are a number of people around the university that are interested in the results of that survey. So I think that we'll all look forward to kind of witnessing and following that process of how those results shake out.
On committee representatives, we need a representative to serve on the ASUAS Food for Thought Committee. If anyone wants to volunteer right now, I'll take any newcomers. You can also email me offline to get you a little bit more info about that. And then also the Meritorious Service Award Committee. So this is once a year, basically, we put Meritorious Service Award candidates from each candidate in front of the Board of Regents, usually between one and three, who we believe have basically lived a life of exemplary service, particularly in community service, not just to the institution. And it's similar in a lot of ways to honorary degrees, except focused a little less on, you know, what they've contributed knowledge-wise, and it's a bit more on what they've contributed potentially just service-wise. It's a huge honor. It's one of the kind of biggest honors we bestow on members of our community, and they generally meet once in the spring, and then kind of once over the summer to get things hammered out. I've been the representative on it. It's basically two meetings and reading maybe a total of 10 pages of information about the candidates, but it's really great to see. So if anyone wants to volunteer for that, you probably wouldn't have to do anything until April. Any figures there? And this is one, too, our borough representatives. If you wanted to serve on this, they're definitely, it's easy to do via teleconference or hang out there. They have other people who are not present regularly. Great. Thank you, Connie. All right. Did you get that, Connie? Okay. On to new business. The first piece I had here was a joint campaign around performance evaluations. So when Carla was talking to me about the employee engagement project they're working on, she was talking to me both as someone who works as a facilitator with the TED team, the training and employee development team, and then also as staff council president, so I was switching my hats back and forth a lot. But something that really jumped out at me was that between some of the things that make a real big difference to employee engagement and to employee professional development, and something that staff council has been harping on for years, all comes down to the annual performance evaluation, or that's one place where they all overlap. Obviously, there are a lot of factors. But if you're not getting regular, real constructive feedback from your supervisor about how you're doing, what you're doing, what your goals are, you know, those things that should be covered in a good performance evaluation, then it's harder to be engaged. It's harder to set your professional development goals if you don't know where they align and what your supervisor will support and you don't have a plan in place for the next year. And then it's something staff council has talked about repeatedly. One of the, there's a TED highlight kind of report from the survey attached here with a link to the full report, which is big if you want to read it. But one of the things that came out of it was a pretty dismal rate of people getting their annual performance evaluations, and supervisors saying either, you know, it's just not urgent, you know, I don't have consequences if I don't get it done. And then a big one was, I don't know how to do a good performance evaluation. So I know HR is looking at putting out a training on how to do performance evaluation and putting that together, but I thought there could be potential for all three groups to have some success by doing a kind of initiative / campaign around getting annual performance evaluations done. Something like a month, December, January, whatever makes sense. This is performance evaluation month. If you haven't done it in the last 12 months, if you haven't evaluated your employees, now is the time to get it done. Here's some cool new templates that get the information that are easy to use, that are, you don't have to figure out which one, they're not messy. And here's some kind of like best practices for how to do it. And then here's what you get out of it, right? Here's why you want to do them. It seems like potentially a way to get those rates up, which is something we really wanted to see. And then that would be a way to kind of harness the effort of all three groups, many things in flight work. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Is that something that, yeah, Matthew?
Has there been an improvement
in completion rate? Have you decided to use the whole technique? It's still pretty low, and I think, again, the big reasons are, one, people don't feel like they know how to do them well. And then, two, it can always be pushed off when there is other fires going on. So, I mean, there are a lot of employees who have never, ever had, you know, in 10 years of work, never had an evaluation. A lot who certainly aren't getting them on an annual basis, enough that it's pretty concerning. I do think, I mentioned at the last meeting, UAF is replacing UAK jobs with a new recruitment and HR system, which is pretty exciting. It's basically that contract is done, and this one, AJEP, also includes performance management and performance evaluations in the system. They're looking to have it rolled out at the end of this calendar year. potentially for those modules. So that should help too. Part of the issue is, you know, deans and directors are not necessarily getting a report right now that says, out of your people who are supervisors, here are how many have actually done their job about doing the reporting. The reporting has been internal to HR based on timekeeping locations and kind of says, you know, they'll tell the supervisor, yeah, you need to do your evaluations, you haven't done them, but they don't tell that person's boss. You know, so there's kind of a breakdown in accountability as well. So that's some of the things that hopefully this new system can cover, because you'll be able to track and report in the way we actually organize. But I think just getting the word out, getting the message out, it's not a end game solution, but it's a way to maybe make it a little more visible and get the resources out there in the same way we've done with things like safety. And,
did you say that HR was going to be providing some training on how to fill these out?
Yeah, Margot Griffith is developing a training right now. She's in the process of building it with the goal of having it offered twice a year. Not just how to fill it out, but like how to make it like really constructive and get more in there, not just like put five numbers down on a sheet of paper and turn it in, right? Like give actual feedback that people can act on. But if people are interested in that and think it would be worthwhile, then I would be interested in forming an ad hoc committee to work on that. That I would then invite representatives from the TED team and from engagement, maybe Carla, to work with that group to try and put together a bit of a campaign.
I feel like just the people that I know, you know, friends around the university, not necessarily me personally, there's these very little quality about it. It's like they're really not that hard to do.
Right. Okay, so I don't need a motion to create an ad hoc. I can just do that. But if anyone's interested in serving on that and working on it, if you just raise your hand. All right, so I've got Jane, Constance, Brandy, Ali, Trish, and Jessica. Great. Awesome. You could either be a TED representative.
Which is Jessica?
Jessica Armstrong.
Okay.
So, great. Yeah, that'll be a really good committee, and then I think we'll loop them in. So I'll follow up with you guys. Then the next piece was the Rise Board Sustainability Fee. So you guys heard from them at the beginning about some of the things they're working on. One thing they were thinking is, wow, you know, students are funding all these projects. A lot more people than, you know, these are also having great impacts to staff and faculty, as well as the kind of the overall campus community in terms of being more sustainable, but also they're covering shuttles, they're covering our free bus passes, they're covering some of these other things, the student fund.
Past performance does not indicate huge
fees. Sorry, was someone on the phone trying to comment? We just got a weird. Okay. You can also send chats to Nicole, too, if you're trying to get through and having trouble. So they are looking at, they've committed to putting the solar panels on the power plant as that comes online, but they're also, some of these things they've committed on, they're still trying to raise more money to get them done. So one thing that they did, I think they got the idea because some of our staff, we talked about it in a staff achievement and highlights a while ago, some staff voluntarily matched the student fee, which is $40 a year. To help fund some of these projects. And they thought, wow, that's really cool. You know, it's only 40 bucks a year, but then we're all contributing and it makes a big difference. So they're not saying like any type of automatic tax or anything like that. Wouldn't be mandatory for us, like the students, but they would like to maybe see a kind of employee giving campaign organized around this. We could do it via payroll deductions or via one-time contribution, but with a goal of doing that $40 a year contribution. And so I would also like to form an ad hoc committee on this piece to talk about, you know, how we would go about it, to maybe put together a resolution in support of that, to look at kind of some resources or communication and, you know, what makes sense to people and how to get it done. So I'm hereby forming an ad hoc committee to consider this. And I mean, even if it comes out with, okay, we think that's really great, but we don't think it's the role of staff council, that's okay. I need a committee to consider that. Okay, Samara? Great. All right. I think you two would do a great job, but if anybody else wants to join in too and help out. Okay. Great. Well, thank you guys. And if you could try and meet before our next meeting, and I would also encourage you to meet with the RISE board, and I'll send an email to make that connection. They can give you the presentation they gave me. Their students are really excited to meet with us too. Thank you. All right, internal committee reports. I don't think we have a report from elections. They didn't meet over the summer. Anyway, and Phil's not here, but they're looking at potentially moving the election server or software out of the library to more, basically, to get it somewhere where it can be hosted more simply. Membership and rules, Trish?
We did not have the formal meeting.
Great, thank you. Rural Affairs, Chris Brooks, are you online? Chris, did you have a report? Okay. I heard something on the phone. I thought that was insane. Okay, sorry, no Chris. Staff Affairs, Jane?
We have not met over the summer. We I'll be communicating with the staff committee to arrange for a new location and meeting time. We hope to just sort of pick up where we left off in the spring. Jeff has left. So we will be leaving too shortly. We'll just be picking up where we left off then.
Thank you. And University Advocacy, Jamie.
Hi, good morning. We haven't met yet. I'm hoping for the committee to meet on September 9th, so I don't have an update at this time.
Great. Thank you, Jamie. And I'm looking forward to things kicking up again after summer recess. So thank you all for hanging in there. On external and ad hoc reports, you said there is a report from the training and employee development team / work group with a little bit of info back from that survey that we asked you to take in the spring, and you can view the full report. This message that's in here should be going out to all employees shortly in the cornerstone, but just as an update to you guys.
I really highly recommend it. We have a definite game plan.
Okay, so we'll move to roundtable discussion. If Nicole could end the recording.